Hope you could turn your Bibles again, please, to the book of Judges.
I wrote this about my mum, my precious mum. In great pain, she gave birth to me. Her gentle arms nurtured me. Her beautiful hands toiled for me. Her wearied feet would run to me. Her wise words were wisdom to me. Her attentive ears listened to me. Her loving eyes saw potential in me. Her forgiveness was mercy to me. Her tender tears flowed for me. Her heart gave so much to me. My precious mother, God's gracious gift to me. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Each of us here, if we've had a mum, we know a caring mum, we know how much they loved us. And if you've had a mum that has pointed you to the Lord, then that's just such a wonderful benefit that you've had in life. And sadly, there are many children today that don't have godly mums. Someone wrote about the importance of mothers when they said, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." Godly mums are so valuable to our nation because godly mums are needed to raise godly children. Every mum would know it's not easy being a mother. I read that by the time a child reaches the age of 18, a mum has had to handle some 18,000 hours of child-generated housework. Now, we've got four children. They've all left home, but if I do the maths, Judy had to do 72,000 hours of child-generated housework as the mother of our children. Now, that statistic there doesn't mention husband-generated work, but we've been married for over 30 years, so I don't know how many hours of husband-generated work that would include. But being a mum is tough, and being a mum can take long hours to be an effective mum. One mother wrote this. She said, "Before I was married, I had three theories about raising children. Well, now I have three children and no theories." We could spend hours today talking about mums in the Bible. And God has used mums and ladies in the Bible in some great ways. But this morning I just want to talk about one lady, and that is Deborah in the Bible. And Deborah was a lady that describes herself as a mother in Israel. If you look at Judges 5 verse 1, "The inhabitants of the villages ceased, they ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel." So Deborah calls herself a mother in Israel. Now, we actually don't have any record that Deborah had any children, but we do have a record that she was married to a man called Lapidoth, and you see that in Judges 4 verse 4. Deborah's name means bee, and if you read the book of Judges in chapters 4 and 5, indeed she was a busy bee. She was a godly lady, and God used her greatly. Now, to get a bit of an idea about Deborah, we have to know a little bit about the book of Judges. And the book of Judges occurs after the book of Joshua in your Bible. And if you know the story of Joshua and what God wanted the people of Israel to do was they were to conquer the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan was the promised land, and they were to go through and conquer that land, destroy the enemies, displace the enemies from the land, and settle in that land. And in Judges chapter 1:1, we read about the death of Joshua, and we read also that the Canaanites' enemies were still in the promised land. Joshua 1 verse 1, "Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, 'Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?'" So the Israelites should have conquered Canaan, they should have conquered the enemies, But instead, they disobeyed God's word, they compromised, and they did not completely remove the enemies from the land. Judges 1 verse 28, "And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out." If Israel had obeyed God's instructions, they would have driven the enemies out. And because they didn't drive the enemies out, God used other nations to bring judgment upon the nation of Israel. And, you know, when you think about their circumstances, they were a people that had been set free from the bondage of Egypt. God had done miraculous things to free his people. But they had to go into the land of Canaan, and they had to obey God, and they had to conquer the enemies, and they weren't to compromise with the enemies, which is what they did. And when you think about what happened to the people of God then, it can happen to the people of God today. When you think about us, we're in a beautiful land in Australia. You might say Australia is the land of milk and honey. Most Aussies would think that Australia is the best country in the world. God has blessed us. And being in this land, this blessed land, just like the Canaanites, we have enemies in this land. And the three main enemies that we have in the land is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we can compromise. We can compromise with the world. And when we compromise with the world, God can discipline us. It's a warning when you read the book of Judges, because God used the nation's enemies to discipline them. Hebrews 12 verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And so we've got to be careful living in this beautiful land of Australia that we as believers don't compromise. If we compromise, God can bring discipline to us. And you see, God does that to churches. Churches are compromising left, right and centre today. Denominations are compromising, and God can judge them. He can discipline them. Well, when you study the book of Judges, you'll find it covers a period of over 400 years, and Israel finds themselves in a sin cycle of disobedience. A couple of verses in the book of Judges sums up what was going on with the people of God. Judges 17 verse 6, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did which was right in his own eyes." In the final verse of the book of Judges, the same statement is repeated. Judges 21 verse 25, "In those days there was no king in Israel, every man did which was right in his own eyes." So there's a sin cycle in Judges. And I summarise the sin cycle this way. There was sin, there was suffering, there was seeking, and then there was salvation. God would deliver them from the enemies. Here's the sin cycle. Israel sins. Then Israel suffers. Then Israel seeks the Lord in their suffering. And then God brings salvation from their difficulties in the form of a deliverer. And so in the book of Judges, you will find that God raises up 12 judges in that period to minister to Israel. And out of all the 12 judges, one of them was a woman, and her name was Deborah. The main god for the Canaanite people in the promised land was Baal. And the Canaanites were a depraved people. They worshipped other gods. They practiced child sacrifice. And the Canaanite religion was made up of idolatry and sex for the pursuit of material success. Israel, under God, was to have a no-toleration policy of the beliefs and the actions of the Canaanites. But sadly, they disobeyed God and they began to serve the pagan gods in their days. Judges 2 verse 11, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam." Now, when you come to Judges chapter 4, we find that the Israelites are caught in that sin cycle. Look at verse 1. "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Labidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So in Judges chapter 4, things are really hard for the children of Israel. Ehud had been a godly judge, and he'd brought 80 years of rest for the people in the land. And it was the longest period of peace that Israel had enjoyed in the land of Canaan. But when he died, the nation went back to idolatry, and there were terrible consequences because of their sins. The highways were no longer safe. The Israelites had to travel on back roads. You heard of that ABC program, Back Roads, where the lady drives all the different back roads? Well, they drove all the different back roads in those days to keep away from the enemies. They couldn't go on the major highways. Things were disastrous. Judges 5 verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travellers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. So the Canaanites brought terror on the roads, and they brought terror into the villages. I read that people were robbed on the roads and they were robbed in their houses. So people were very fearful in that day. And in Judges chapter 4, we find Jabin, who was the king of Canaan, took control of the land of Canaan. And he had a really large army. He had 900 chariots of iron, and the commander of his army was a man called Sisera. And so Israel's in a bad state physically, and Israel's in a bad state spiritually, and they're in a very desperate state militarily as well. No weapons compared to what the Canaanites had. And I think what had happened in these days, that people were really, you might say, depressed and down, and people sought counsel from a lady called Deborah under a palm tree. And I believe there's a key to that. The nation was in such a depressive state because men weren't doing what they should do. And so God used a woman, Deborah. We don't find in this particular time that God used a priest. He used a woman called Deborah. The state of the nation was bad because men under God were not doing their jobs. I think Israelite men had forgotten God and his laws, and therefore they were in terrible trouble. Judges 3 verse 7 says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot their God and served Balaam and the groves." Why did the nation forget God? Well, men were meant to lead the home. Men were to lead their children. And men were meant to lead the nation. And so men had abandoned, I believe, their ministry. And that's why God raises up a woman called Deborah. It's like that, I believe, in Australia today. I read on the internet about a shortage of ministers in Australia. And there is a shortage in a number of denominations of ministers. And you've got to ask, where are the men? Where are the men that are taking the spiritual roles in the churches? Where are the men that should be taking the spiritual roles as the head of the home? Where are they? Why is our nation in such a state today? Largely, I believe, men have abandoned what they should be doing under God. We're in a land, as I mentioned, of milk and honey, but we're in a dreadful situation. As I mentioned, the Canaanites were a depraved people. They worshipped other gods. They practiced child sacrifice. And their religion was made up of idolatry and sex. for the pursuit of material success. Doesn't that speak about Australia today? If you think about Australia today, we have a smorgasbord of gods. This nation sacrifices its children. In 2005, it was estimated, way back then, that there was over 83,000 abortions that occurred in 2005. We are a nation of idolatry. We are a nation of child sacrifice. We are a nation of immorality. We are a nation where many men are not taking up a spiritual leadership in their homes, in their churches, and even in the nation. Now, God's pattern is for men to be the spiritual leaders. The 12 disciples were all men. And even when Judas failed and Judas suicided, who did they choose? They chose another man. And it's quite clear from our scriptures that men are to lead our churches today. All the leaders of the tribes of Israel were men. They weren't women. And if you study the scriptures today, and there are many churches that ignore this, men are to be the elders of churches. Men are to be the pastors. Titus 1 verse 5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly." 1 Timothy 2 verse 12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence, for Adam was first formed, then Eve." Now, you and I, men and women, we are created equal under God. Undoubtedly, we are equal under God, but God has given us different roles, and that's the difference. And God's desire is for men to lead their wives and their children, and that men lead the family of God in the church, and that is not popular in today's world today. When Paul wrote to Titus, he gave a job description of the more mature women, and this is what they were to do. Titus 2 verse 3, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviour as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." So God has given us different roles in the church and different roles in the family. And I also believe different roles in the nation. And it was not the norm for God to use numbers of female prophetesses on a frequent basis in the Bible. So female prophetesses were rare. There's a few that are mentioned in the Bible, but they were rare in those days. And did you know today it's not God's will to have female ministers teaching men and having authority over them in the church? Now, for me to say that today, it's not popular. But I'm not here to be popular. I'm here to preach what the Word of God says. So we need to look at the Scriptures. And what does the Scripture say about male headship? What does the Scripture say about females? Well, if we go back to the book of Judges, Judges, as I believe, is being repeated in our own day and even in our churches. Judges 17 verse 6 again, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did which was right in his own eyes." So churches today are calling female pastors. They're putting them into a position where they shouldn't be. Why? Because they're doing what is right in their own eyes, not what is right in God's eyes. So in Deborah's day, I believe God used a woman to bring comfort and counsel and direction to the people of God, because men were shirking their spiritual responsibility, and it's happening today at an alarming rate. Judges 4 verse 4, And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at the time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So God is using her. I guess men weren't standing, and so God's using her to give the nation of Israel wisdom. Now, the judges in those days, or those that were appointed as elders of the city, often sat at a gate, but here she is at a palm tree, and people are going out to the palm tree. Judges 4, verse 6. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, "Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hands." So Deborah summons the commander of Israel's army, a man called Barak, to go into the battle. And the odds are completely stacked against Israel. And this commander was scared, I believe, and he wouldn't go into the battle unless Deborah went with him. Judges 4, verse 8. And Barak said unto her, "If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go." Verse 9 says, "And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh." So the odds are stacked against Israel. You have a commander that wants a woman to go with him. Doesn't say too much about the commander. Secondly, Israel had no modern weapons. Judges 5:8, you see that. And Sisera, the commander of the Canaanite army, had a large army with 900 chariots of iron. So they're outgunned, you'd say, in modern terms. In modern terms, the people of Canaan have tanks, you might say, equivalent to the modern-day tank today. And I read a bit about the chariots, and some chariots of old, some of them could occupy two or three men. So you might have a driver, and either side you might have an archer, or men with spears on either side. And so if Israel came down into the valleys, they could charge these chariots at them with wielding swords and wielding spears. They'd have no hope on the plain. But God. So the odds are stacked against Israel. Fourthly, a number of the tribes of the Israelites would not go to battle. They refused to go into the battle. And you see that in Judges 5, 15 to 17. Also, the battle would take place in a valley, Judges 4, 10 to 14. The Bible says in verse 14, "So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him." So Israel, if they stuck in the mountains, they had a fair chance. There was a fair chance that there'd be a fair fight for them. But God calls them down into the valley, onto the plain. And it was the most dangerous position for men that were largely unarmed to be in, because they could just run, the Canaanites could just charge these chariots at these men. So it was a hopeless situation, but God intervenes. You know, the Bible says this, "Not by might nor by power, but by spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Are you in an impossible situation this morning? Are you thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get through this situation? Think about Israel here. Impossible situation, but God intervened for them. Verse 15, "And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet." Judges 5 verse 19, "The kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan in Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. God used this army, and he calls the Israelite army down from the hills to the dangerous position on the plain, and God does a mighty work. God works with them to wipe out this enormous army. Now, when we think about Deborah, God used Deborah greatly. Deborah was a godly wife. And because she was a godly wife, she had a godly impact on the nation. She described herself as a mother in Israel. Deborah heard from God and she spoke for God in her day. Deborah judged and counseled her people in a time where godly counsel was rare. She had intuition and she had inspiration from God in her advice to others. Judges 4 verse 5, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Not only all those characteristics there, but she was brave. Israel was outnumbered. The captain of the army of Israel was terrified of the enemy, and she bravely, he wouldn't go unless she would go. And so she said yes, and she was willing to go and face the battle. Judges, and we've read that in Judges 4 verse 8. Not only did she go into the battle, but she sung a victory song that people have been reading for thousands of years now. Her songs in the Bible. Judges 5 verse 2, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offered themselves, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes, I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. As we think of Mother's Day today, our nation needs godly women, and we need godly men as well, like never before. In those days, there was no king in Israel. If you think about the leadership in Australia in the last 10 years or so, what have our prime ministers done for this country? Have they led us into righteousness? Have they led us into purity? Is there stability in the nation? Are our roads safe? Are our homes safe today? Very much like what was happening in Deborah's time. We've sacrificed our babies. We've taken the gods of other nations. We're absorbed with immorality and materialism. We're now doing what is right in our own eyes and not what is right in God's eyes. And now we've found ourselves oppressed. Our streets are not safe and numbers of our people are afraid. And it appears that the enemy is having the victory. What is the answer? It's in the scriptures. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need healing in this land. We need godly leadership. And we need God's people to bow their knees before a holy God and plead for this nation. Today we want to honour godly women because nations need godly women. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favour is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. They got the victory because of a godly woman that stood for the Lord. We need the victory. How do we get the victory? 1 John 5 verse 4, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We need godly men and women that trust the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. Godly men and women that are willing to stand against the Canaanite influences of our day. Godly men and women that mourn over the sacrifice of tens of thousands of children that are aborted in our nation each year. Godly men and women that are willing to bow their knee and pray and humble themselves before God and ask God for mercy upon this land. Godly men and women that are willing to tell the great news of the gospel to a world that is largely gone astray and has no hope. We need godly men and we need godly women. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Deborah and her godly example to us today. And Father, I thank you for the godly women in this church and the godly men. And Lord, we want to pray for the nation, because the nation largely has many that do not know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. Godly men and godly women are few. And Lord, help us to be a people of prayer that pray for this nation and that share the good news of the gospel. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.